It's an honor to come before you today to share God's word with you. We're passionate about the word here. Sometimes it's like I just want to come up and tell you how much we love the Lord. Someone in our community group said today that one out of three pastors in the United States don't believe that Jesus is the way, the only way. And that troubles me. On Easter, my main verse was Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, but there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved. I stand upon that verse, and I stand upon the name of Christ that at this church, this is what we will be speaking, and it'll have to come from God's word because that's our plumb line. That's our bottom line. That's how we do things here. And I feel like, you know, in our community groups, I ask you what, you know, for me, living is and dying is from last week's message. And it's very important that you fill in that blank in your life because we have to be prepared to go outside these walls and make a difference for him, man. As you saw from that video, and I can't wait till that night, there are a lot of Buddhists in the world. There are a lot of people practicing Islam and saying that Allah's God or Buddha's God or Tom Cruise's God. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there about that, and we have to be prepared and ready. That's our job as Christians. Peter said, you know, sanctify the Lord God always in your heart and always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have. We have hope here today because of Christ. We have hope here. We've been given this building to honor him in all we do. And I'm thankful for all the people that call this church home. I'm thankful for the visitors that are here today. We would want nothing else but for you to ask God, is this the place where you want us to worship, and what are they about? We're about Christ. We're about the Word. We're about doing our best to get you plugged in so you can learn about the Word so that you can have hope. You can have peace. You can have a better marriage. You can make a difference in your neighborhood and your job for Him. Before I get into the message today, I want to acknowledge a couple whom we love very much, and I don't see the husband. I see Marie. I don't see Bob. What happened to Bob? Where is he? Praise.
What'd she say?
But I'll have to wait till he comes back in here to let this go, because this is something very important for Kathy and I to share with you while you're here. They have no idea what I'm talking about, but hopefully I'll see him walking here. We've been going through the book of Philippians. We've been taking our time, a couple verses a week. We're in Philippians, and Paul's in prison, and I thought to myself, what in the world would a conversation would have been like between Paul and these guards who had him in jail? And I wrote this out. The guards would say, hey, Paul, we don't like you, and we don't like your Messiah, and we're going to kill you. And Paul says, that'll be great. Dying is gain. Bring it on. Then the guards say, well, on second thought, we're going to allow you to live. And Paul says, fantastic. Living means fruitful, joyous labor. Isn't that beautiful? Then the guards say, well, we're going to let you live, but we're going to make you suffer. And Paul would say, hey, guys, I consider the sufferings of this present world not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. It would fill me with joy to suffer for his name. That's what Paul's mindset was. Think about it. Do you see the power in these answers he gave? Kill me and I'll be with Christ. Let me live and I'll live for Christ. Make me suffer and I'll experience joy and get rewarded by Christ. And this was this unstoppable. And Amber, thank you for doing unstoppable love today. Because in your listening, God, I put this is the unstoppable mentality of the Apostle Paul. And it can be ours as well, if we treasure Christ above all things. So important that we would treasure Christ above all things. And then I kind of took a next step during the week, and I thought to myself, well, what would I say in the jail cell? You know, what would I say or what would I sing to those other prisoners? And this is a song that came up in my mind. Sorry, it's not really biblical, but this is what came in my mind. Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. And then Paul, sitting in that jail cell, would sing, you know, to give honor to the Lord. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. But you're the key to my peace of mind, because you make me feel... Kathy, I should have you come up here and sing it. You make me feel like I'm one of your children. Oh, yeah. When my soul was lost and found, you came along on the road to Damascus to claim it. I didn't know just what was wrong with me till your Spirit helped me name it. Now I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if you make me happy, I just want to share you more. Because you make me feel... That's what comes into my head during the week. And then I would say this, oh Jesus, what you've done to me. You make me feel so good inside. I just want to be close to you. Now I left the song over. You make me feel. Praise God. Oh my God. Is Bob Stevens here yet? Where is he, man? Where is he? Oh my, will you get him out here? I need to do something, man. It's messing up. I'm messing up my whole being today, man. I need him. Oh, he's out there witnessing to somebody, man. Somebody came with a T-shirt that said, I love Buddha on it. He's out. I'm only kidding. All right. I shared with you last Sunday that the Philippians were concerned for Paul. He doesn't say to them, hey, you guys, please contact the Roman officials and all your political leaders and please work the system to get me out of prison. Instead, Paul, he spends chapter 1, verses 12 through 26, and you can read, hey, this is Bob Stevens. I want you to see him. Say hello to Bob Stevens. I had to do this. But this Thursday is their 55th wedding anniversary. I am so excited about that. Praise God. Kathy and I went out and got you a card, and there's something little in there for you, man. $55 million check. Praise God. But we love you guys. We just want to thank you for being a part of this church, man. 55 years. Praise God. Let's hear it, man. Is there anybody here been married longer than 55 years, man? Praise God. All right. Praise God. How many years? 56, man. Seriously. You guys got married down the road from each other years ago and you never knew. Wait. How many years back here? 60 in December. That is beautiful, man. Oh, my gosh. Woo. 60 for Lois Blankenship. That's beautiful. God is good, man. Oh, my. Kathy and I are coming up on 40. Praise God. How old is that guy? But anyway, we're in the world. Last Sunday in Philippians, we looked at the end of chapter, verse 18 through 21, and we were talking about the concern Paul had about honoring Christ. I gave you these three things. I called them the ABC last week, by rejoicing in Christ consistently, by relying on Christ completely, by representing Him courageously. And I thought to myself, consistently, completely, courageously. And that theme, that courage of, He gives that theme many times, and just in the first chapter, in verse 14, in verse 20, in verse 28. And then Paul says, this boldness about what I have for Christ, it comes from the Spirit of Christ. And it's really, it was illustrated in the book of Acts. When you read through the book of Acts and see how the church started, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I thought about, with all that's going on in the world right now, all the tragedies that we see going on in the world, I go back to that early church, and they said this in Acts 4:29. This is what the church was about. They said, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Don't we need that in this generation? Don't we need to have Christ inside of us and we're just filled with His Word that we can speak His Word with boldness? And then they pray, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. There's no other name we can put in that place than your servant Jesus. And they prayed and they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly. That's what I want for this church. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for your life, to be able to speak the Word of God boldly. He said in verse 21, Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And you think about how that verse has probably inspired countless of Christians through the generations, through the years, particularly those who have laid down their life for the cause of Christ. But I think, to make it clear, I don't think Paul's promoting martyrdom here in these verses, though his words, I think, would truly encourage persecuted Christians. Further, I don't think Paul isn't saying that he wants to escape from life. He knows that his life, even in suffering, is filled with joy and fruitful labor. Even while he's sitting in prison, it's filled with joy and fruitful labor. It's not escape that he's improvising here. It's eternal enjoyment. That's what we get to look forward to. He's saying in death there's more of what satisfies him now. And that word now there, it's just amazing, because it's about serving Jesus, which brings us meaning and joy. And you're listening, God, but Paul knows that later is better because it involves more of a face-to-face communion with Christ. We've got to long for that. There's a promise in 1 John 3 that says this: see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Think about it. We're living in a world where there's millions, billions of people that don't know Christ, don't understand Him, but we know Him. We've been called by Him. We've been set apart by Him. He says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. But here's our hope. Here's our hope that we can wake up every day knowing that we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope, tells the Word of God tells us what to do. We're fixed on Him. Purifies Himself just as He is pure. So this outlook that Paul had was unstoppable. And I suppose it was probably aggravating to his opponents. I have a little prayer that I found today that I thought would be cool if we read it together. It's by St. Patrick. He was an evangelist to Ireland way back in the 5th century. And he wrote this prayer. And do I have it on there? Yeah. Let's read this prayer together. It's powerful. Let's read it together. As I arise today, may the strength of God pilot me, the power of God uphold me, the wisdom of God guide me. May the eye of God look before me, the ear of God hear me, the Word of God speak for me. May the hand of God protect me, the way of God lie before me, the shield of God defend me, the host of God to save me. And then after his introduction, then he says this: may Christ shield me today, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit, Christ when I stand, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Amen. That's a powerful prayer. That is a powerful prayer. I'm telling you, you people are a bunch of Jesus freaks, man. It's awesome. It's awesome to live with that, knowing Him, knowing that we've been set apart from Him. That's a Christ-centered prayer. And that would be a Christ-centered life. And I guess I'm supposed to ask you today, is that your ambition? Is that your ambition? Is that what you're living for? Is that what you're putting your hope and your joy in? My main point today is our vision, our purpose, our goal is being with Christ. That's what it's all about. In Philippians 1, 22 through 26, which I hope to get through today, Paul continues here in these verses to open up his heart to the Philippians, allowing them to hear how he's progressing in this situation that he's in jail. It's a win-win situation that Paul's trying to give us as believers. To live means honoring Christ with fruitful labor, and to die means possessing Christ in the fullness of sense. He found a love greater than itself, and this vision of being with Christ inspired him to endure. That's what it's all about. I got three parts for you today. Part one is Paul's dilemma. Look at verse 22 and the beginning of verse 23. Paul says this, "But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I'm hard-pressed from both directions." So you read those verses and you see that Paul is torn between these options. This rhetorical question that he gives demonstrates the value of both. That's why he's hard-pressed. That's why he's torn or pressured. And as Christians, we share this dilemma. We know that life is about fruitful and meaningful and joyful labor. I hope you know that. But we know that death is better. And that's why it's a win-win situation. Part two. So part one was Paul's dilemma. Part two is his desire. Because at the end of verse 23, it says, "Having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better," he writes, "yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for." So Paul states his ultimate preference. And why did he prefer dying? Because it meant being with Christ, and that was being better. Paul doesn't mention desire for reward, but for Christ himself, who is the ultimate reward. Dying means more of Christ, a more complete, close, and intimate relationship with him. Francis Chan, in a Philippians commentary that I've been getting a lot out of, he shared this story. He said, "When I go out of town, even if it's to Hawaii, without my wife Lisa, I will feel like something is missing." I think Joe Jordan wrote this. Joe Jordan wrote this to me today, because he's in Hawaii. Praise God. He says, "I'm always ready to come home to be with her." That's the way you feel when you're in love. Paul couldn't wait to see Jesus. I often hear people, Francis Chan wrote, "I often hear people talk about heaven without mentioning Christ." That's not what Paul envisions. When he thought about death, he thought about being in the presence of Christ. He wrote to the church at Corinth this, "We are of good courage. I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body, but to be at home with the Lord." It's a beautiful verse. You'll hear that verse at many funerals. I've used that verse at many funerals. Because we encourage you, you know, it's awesome that we get to live this life and we get to serve Him and love Him and grow in Him and make a difference for Him. But one day we'll get to be absent from this body and be with home to the Lord for eternity. Some people, and I put this in your listening, God, "That baby's beautiful back there. Oh my gosh. Born how? Look at that little baby. Oh my gosh. Shoo! Shelby Esme." Is that how you say your middle name? Esme. Kathy tried to tell me. I wouldn't listen to her. Shelby Esme Mariner. Isn't it beautiful? Born. Oh my gosh. I got to see her in the hospital. It was beautiful. And the first movie she watched was the new Star Wars. I don't understand. But anyway, praise God. Praise God. Some people never desire. That's beautiful. Because, oh my gosh, here's my convicting sentence. Some people never desire heaven because they built a pretty comfortable life here. That's beautiful. See the trouble I start all the time? Oh my gosh. Death is not an enemy for Christians. Death is like a boat. It takes you where you want to go. Tony Marotta, another pastor who wrote some things in his commentary, he said this past year, my wife Kimberly and I went on a cruise to celebrate our 10th anniversary. They're babies, right? Bob and Marie, they're babies. 10th anniversary. It was my first cruise, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, he wrote. One of my favorite memories relates to this idea of departing. He says, as we set off from Fort Lauderdale, you could see the lights in the distance slowly fading away. Then we were in the dark, and soon we would go to bed. The next morning, however, was stunning. We had a room with a window, and I looked out and saw the amazing blue waters of the Caribbean in this beautiful island. And he wrote in the Philippian commentary, death is kind of like that. The person dying sees the light slowly fading away, and then it's gone. But the best is yet to come, because when Christians die, they awake to see something more glorious than the Caribbean. They see the Galilean Jesus. That's beautifully, beautifully written. And we will experience the glory of God in that way that we have never experienced it when we leave this earth. Paul knew that death was better, but it's just not better. Better by far. It's far better in every way, from your new body to the new heavens and the new earth, and most of all, because we will dwell with the Savior. Do you want to be with Him? Do you have a desire to grow in Him and know Him? Do you have that desire to spend eternity with Him? Because that's going to be a relationship that supersedes all of our relationships. A love like no other. And if you know Christ personally, then you can look at death and say that it's better than life, because it means being with Christ. Do you long for this as a believer? As Christians and as His children, we can endure this life with hope. Soon the war is going to be over, and we will see Him and we will be like Him. So Paul had this dilemma, and he had this desire, and then he made this decision for us right here in this generation, right here on April 17, 2016. Paul says, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. And why would we want to do that? Why would anybody want to do that? For all your progress and joy in the faith. So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. So even Paul, even though he knew Christ's eternal presence was better, he resolved to live out his days for the sake of the church. Even though death was better, Paul decided, because that was his decision, that he would stay on for the benefit of the body of Christ. I think to myself, maybe on a human level, he's sitting in that jail cell and thinking, perhaps he knew that Rome had no real reason to punish him. But from a spiritual perspective, I truly believe that Paul believed God had more work for him to do. This was necessary and an unfinished task in the part that involved laboring for the process of joy for the Philippian church and for their boasting in Christ. So he must do these things before going to be with him. With this in mind, I want to ask you three questions. One, are you serving others? Are you sitting here as a believer, as a follower of Christ, and are you serving others? Paul says it's necessary for the Philippians that he'd stay alive. You think about this. Is it necessary for you to stay at your church? This is what I read in commentary. It hit me. Think about it. Ask yourself this question. Is it necessary for me to stay at this church? If you left, would people really miss you? Please understand, Paul isn't saying that the whole world would fall apart if he leaves, and the world wouldn't fall apart if we left either. But Jesus is Lord over His church, and we believe in the sovereignty of God, and I'm asking the body and mind, which is often used regarding the church. Paul could say the church needs him, and the church needs everyone in the body doing their part. So the question is, are you serving? Paul says, I'm going to stay and serve. That's why I'm living. Can you say this? Question number two, are you serving for the progress and joy of others? Real progress in the faith will result in genuine joy in the faith. In other words, these two things really go together. Progress in the faith and joy in the faith. That's why Paul wants to stay on this planet Earth, so people can grow in their faith and grow in their joy. He said something to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1:24. He says, "Not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm." What a wonderful way to think about ministry, striving so that others may rejoice in all that is there in Christ. And this is just another way we can make much of Jesus. Question 3, are you serving so that others may boast in Christ? The ultimate purpose of Paul's reunion with the Philippians had to do with their growing and their confidence in Christ. Through his ministry, he wants them to make much of Jesus. And I think about Caleb working with the teens, or Melissa working with the children, or ladies gathering together and men gathering together, and us gathering together as couples on Sunday mornings, so we can boast about what Christ has done for us, so we can give him the glory and be thankful for all those things. So put this together. What is life about? It's about fruitful work. It's about doing. What does it mean? It's about us doing our part. It means helping people grow in their faith. It means helping people have more joy in Christ. It means ministering so that others glorify Jesus more and more. Pastor Caleb, and I don't want to speak for him, he would want nothing more for you teenagers to take Christ to your school and brag about Christ, talk about him. That's why he wanted to stay a little longer. Paul was willing to postpone ultimate joy for the joy of serving others. If the ushers and band come forward, how can you have this life? How can you live a life filled with meaning like this? Honoring Christ, rejoicing in Christ, relying on Christ and representing Christ. Paul met Jesus and he was changed. He met him on the road to Damascus and he was changed. And he was previously a religious person, as you read the scripture, and maybe even an extremely religious person. But he didn't know Christ. And when Paul traded religion for the righteousness of Jesus and new life that Jesus gives, he found life. And we pray that happens here every week. We pray that people will set aside religion and talk about a relationship with Christ. As Christians, our vision and our purpose and our goal is being with Christ. Paul had a dilemma. He had a desire, but he had a decision. And he made that decision to stay on to make a difference for Christ. Let me pray. Father, I just give you the glory for today, Lord. Father, I pray that you just bless those who give today. Father, I know from reading the scriptures what happens when we do discipline ourselves to sacrificially give and to give with a cheerful heart. I see it in my own life, Father. Thank you for giving us that another way to serve you, another way to worship you is by honoring you with our tithe and offering, Father. So, Father, bless this offering today, Lord. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Before the band plays, I want to read something for you because this is the good news. If you don't have meaning in your life, if you're sitting here today and you really don't have meaning in your life, it's available for you. If you don't have this outlook on death, grace is available to you in the person of Jesus Christ who came to us, as Philippians 2 says, as we'll see in a week or so, that he humbled himself. He came to earth and he died a death that we deserved to die, but he paid the penalty for us, for sinners like us, and he rose on behalf, and now he's reigning over all things. And he says, and he's saying this to us today, there's a righteousness that depends on faith, not works, and it's my righteousness. He's saying, turn away from your own efforts and trust me alone. He's saying, I will forgive you and give you my righteousness and change your current passion and your eternal destination. Everybody wants to live, and everybody's going to die. But there's only one way to have a life worth living and a death worth dying, and that is to look to the one who conquered death, the one Paul desired to see above all things. And if you see him as he is, he too will say, to be with Christ is far better. If you could stand up, and we're going to worship, and we're going to open this altar up. If you need prayer, if you need prayer for healing, I have some elders right here in front of me who have oil, that because the Bible says to call the elders at your church and come so we can anoint you with oil and pray for you. So if you need healing in any way, if you want to give your life to Christ in any way, if you want to come and pray for others, this altar is open for you. Thank you.